A Dance for the Dead by Nuzo Ono. The setting of Akari and the Princes of Oma. The narrative of A Dance for the Dead is set in the Okoro territories, specifically within the Akari village ruled by the Oma clan. The village is governed by King Azila, a traditional and often ruthless ruler who values legacy and martial prowess above all else. He has two primary sons from his first wife, who died during the birth of the younger son. The eldest is Dike, also known by his warrior name Agu Ijai Ajemba, which means the tiger that marches before his people in battle. Dike is the heir to the royal stool and the fearsome leader of the Ogwimi, an exclusive warrior cult whose exploits strike terror into the hearts of their enemies. In contrast, the younger brother, Ife, known as Featherfeet, is a dreamer and a lithe, beautiful dancer. Ife is widely believed to be the reincarnate of Imbada, the greatest dancer in the history of the Ten Villages. While Dike is the pride of the warriors, Ife is the darling of the common people, especially the women who swoon at his performances of the Agede dance. And the famous river dance, which mimics the undulating flow of the river Niger. Despite the different temperaments, the brothers share a bond of profound love. Dike acts as a protective father figure to Ife, shielding him from their father's notorious rages. However, the domestic peace is fragile, threatened by the king's obsession with marriage and heirs. Azila is a marriage addict who has spent 3 years pressuring Ife to marry Ada of the Nightingale Voice, a union intended to cement an alliance with a neighboring village chief. Ife, however, resists, fearing that marriage and the responsibility of the farms will end his days of dancing and drinking palm wine with his friends, the shadow of the witch doctor and the oracle's abomination. The primary antagonist of the village is Dibia Okpoko, the knife-scarified and corrupt witch doctor who serves as the high priest of the deity Ogu Ingodo, the god of war and peace. The novel's internal conflict begins when Okpoko attempts to force himself on a young slave girl by a murky stream. When she fights back and spills his blood, he curses her, swearing she will rue the day she was born. This girl is later revealed to be Teresa Chicken Legs, a kind and cheerful domestic slave in the king's household who is beloved by the village children. The tension reaches a breaking point during the annual New Yam Harvest Festival. During a secret ceremony in the Shrine Grove, a place of perpetual gloom where hundreds of white human skulls dangle from the branches of 10 mystical Ingwu trees, the oracle speaks through Dibia Okpoko. In an unprecedented move, the oracle demands the sacrifice of a woman, Teresa Chicken Legs. Dike is horrified, as he had captured the girl as a domestic servant, not a ritual offering. He openly challenges the witch doctor, arguing that the ancestors would never demand a woman's heart to imbue warriors with strength. Despite Dike's defiance, the other village chieftains, led by the wealthy and envious Ozo Agwo, support the witch doctor to undermine the king's power. Ozo Agwo harbors secret aspirations for the throne and uses the religious fervor to isolate Dike. When Dike refuses to partake in the ritual of eating the slave girl's heart, Dibia Okpoko pronounces the curse of the shadow crows upon him, declaring that a dark cloud of misfortune now hovers over his head. Teresa Chicken Legs is brutally sacrificed, her heart go red from her chest by the witch doctor, an abomination that leaves the king's household in a state of mourning, the plot of brothers and the betrayal of Ife. Simultaneously, Ife is paralyzed by the news that the king has ordered his immediate abduction by the Ogwimi to force his marriage to Ada. In his desperation, Ife turns to his best friend, Emeka, the son of a man who was branded a traitor and committed suicide. Emeka is a wiry man known as Ilin Wanyi, woman's tongue, for his love of gossip, and he harbors a deep-seated hatred for Dike. Emeka convinces the drunken fool, Ife, that they should kidnap Dike instead. The plan, as Emeka presents it, is to drug Dike with sleeping herbs and hide him in an empty hut for a few days. This disappearance would supposedly distract the king and delay Ife's marriage indefinitely. Ife, ruled by the Agede drums and palm wine, fails to see the venom in Emeka's heart. On the night of the plot, Ife brings a jar of palm wine laced with Dibia Nene's sleeping herbs to his brother's hut. Dike, weary from the day's events and seeking comfort from his brother, drinks the wine and falls into a deep, drugged sleep. Within the silence of the night, Emeka and his brothers arrive. Ife watches with a wrongness in his throat as they manhandle his fearsome brother, but he believes they are taking him to a safe hiding place in their hamlet. The next morning, Ife awakes to a village in total chaos. He soon learns the horrifying truth: Dike was not taken to a hut, but was dumped inside the forbidden shrine of Ogu Ingodo. Dibia Okpoko discovered him there at dawn and immediately beat the great Igba drum to summon the villagers. According to the laws of the land, any human who enters the forbidden shrine uninvited becomes an osu, a slave to the gods and a permanent outcast, the proclamation of osu and the ghosting of a prince. The ritual of ghosting is a social death more absolute than physical execution. King Azila is forced by custom and the pressure of the Ozo peers to pronounce his own first son a slave. Dikay is stripped of his title, his wealth is shared among kinsmen, and his wife, Imboye, is legally released from him. From that day forward, no citizen is permitted to acknowledge his existence or speak his name. To do so would result in the family of the transgressor being excluded from the community for 12 moons. Dikay is branded with a metal iron, marking him as an untouchable. Dikay's warrior leaders weep as they form a line of honor for the last time, bowing to the man who was once their pride. Dikay himself is plunged into a soul pain beyond endurance, realizing he is now even lower than the slaves he once owned. He is confined to the dark, blood-scented cave of the deity, where he becomes a companion to owls and bats. Ife, upon realizing the extent of his betrayal, collapses in the path, howling at the sky in a state of killing pain. He realizes too late that Emeka is a viper under the sleeping mat, who used Ife's cowardice to destroy the only man he ever truly feared. The horrors of the shrine and the witness of the dead. Inside the forbidden shrine, Dikay's sanity begins to fray until he receives a visitation from the spectral form of Teresa Chicken Legs. The girl appears as a ghastly visage with hollow sockets and a black hole where her heart should have been, yet she speaks to him with the gentle voice of a friend. She warns him never to enter the shrine grove at night, as the hanging skulls of sacrificed slaves are filled with a mindless, vengeful rage against the warriors who devoured their hearts. Dikay witnesses the supernatural fury of the shrine when a great wind rises and the bones of the dead, which layer the pathway like a jagged white carpet, begin to regroup into animated headless skeletons. These bone ghouls surround him, drawn by the magnet of his living warmth. He is only saved by the intervention of the five witch sisters. Young women who were falsely accused of witchcraft by Dibia Okpoko after he squashed them in lust, and they became pregnant. These sisters, along with Chicken Legs, possess undevoured hearts, and have retained their humanity, allowing them to soothe the restless souls of the hanging skulls and keep their evil away from the village. Through his conversations with Chicken Legs' ghost, Dikay discovers the depth of Dibia Okpoko's corruption. The witch doctor has used his position to blackmail and ravish numerous village women, including the king's youngest wife, whom he convinced he could give the son she desperately desired. Okpoko plucked out Chicken Legs' eyes in the spirit world to ensure she could never find his soul to exact vengeance. This revelation transforms Dikay's despair into a burning thirst for justice. He realizes that his ghosting has granted him the unique ability to witness and eventually right these hidden wrongs, the descent of Ife and the murder of Emeka. While Dikay grapples with the dead, Ife undergoes a different kind of disintegration in the village. He becomes a pathetic drunk, guzzling palm wine to drown the bitter pill of betrayal. The king, now identifying Ife as his heir out of necessity, bans him from drinking and orders him to begin training with Igwalube, the best of the Ogwimi leaders. Azila also commands Ife to marry Dike's widow, Imboye, to honor the custom of caring for a brother's dependents. Ife refuses, shouting that he will never touch his brother's wife while Dike's heart still beats. This defiance earns Ife a vicious thrashing with the king's staff, leaving him bruised and wishing for death. The climax of Ife's arc occurs when he encounters Big Bosom, Aruka, who reveals that she saw Dikay at the slave stream and that the warrior now knows Ife was the one who drugged him. Ife's guilt reaches a breaking point. He attempts to confront Emeka with a hidden knife, but is intercepted by the Snakes brothers. During a brutal melee where Emeka attempts to ruin Ife's manhood by yanking his organ, Ife pulls his blade and stabs Emeka to death. Horrified by his own violent act, Ife flees the scene of the crime and runs blindly toward the forbidden shrine, where he collapses before Dikay and the ghost of Chicken Legs, the preparation for the great journey. Dikay and Ife are reunited in the rain-soaked shrine grove, where they finally share the full truth of their respective betrayals. Dikay forgives his brother, realizing Ife was a mule-headed fool manipulated by a master deceiver. Dikay then reveals a sacred vision he received from their ancestors. The nine deceased warrior leaders of the Oma clan appeared to him in a room with walls dripping blood, identifying him as the 10th warrior destined to fulfill a great prophecy. To break the curse of the Osu and return to their former glory, Dikay must journey to the realm of the ancestors. To meet the old ones, the ageless creators of their bloodline. This journey requires him to die the death sleep of the black herb and endure the three deaths of earth, water, and fire. Ecolobia, his great ancestor, instructed that he must be purified by a woman's hands using water infused with salt and menstrual blood. Ife, seeking redemption, offers himself as a gift to the old ones, promising to dance the greatest dance of his life for the dead. Before they depart, Dike uses his knowledge of Dibia Okpoko's crimes to cow the witch doctor into cooperation. He forces the vile worm to exhume chicken legs' corpse and return her preserved eyes and heart to her body. This act releases the slave girl's spirit and her decomposed ghoul body. Now shadows the witch doctor, ensuring he performs the ritual of the black herb with truth and efficiency, the three deaths in the empty realm. The journey into the spirit world is described with visceral horror. While Ife's soul travels directly to the peaceful realm of the ancestors, Dike must first traverse the empty realm. To pay his karmic debt to Offoring Ogu, the doctrine of clean hands. The first death, water, occurs in a deep river of sticky, red blood water beneath a low, oppressive red sky. Dike is attacked by the men of the Abani clan, a cannibal tribe his warriors once decimated. While he easily hacks through the men, he is eventually overwhelmed and devoured by the murdered children of the clan, whose innocent blood he had spilled on the king's orders. The second death, Earth, takes place in a white-skied forest where he meets the pale sisters of Yamase. These women, who were albinos and not witches as the king's spies had claimed, surround him and strip him naked. They use large clay pots of grainy earth to scrub his skin until it peels, stuffing his mouth with wet sand until he chokes on his own screams. The third death, fire, occurs in a night village of straw huts inhabited by the Eco clan, a community of incestuous outcasts. Dike attempts to burn the evil to the ground by igniting their huts, but the monsters instead welcome the heat, trampling over him and holding him down in the flames until his flesh is charred to ashy cinders, the arrival and the revelation of the old ones. After enduring these agonizing deaths, Dike awakes in a realm of indescribable bliss, featuring three golden suns and three silvery moons. He is reunited with Ife and their mother, who appears as a young and beautiful girl. In this realm of eternal youth, he even meets Emeka's father, discovering the man was not a traitor but was murdered in his bed by his own son. The brothers are summoned to meet the old ones. 10 mighty giants in shimmering robes of black fur who stride down a mountain at a pace that defies reality. To Dike's profound shock, he discovers that Oguingodo, the all-powerful deity of war and peace, is female. The old ones are the spirit women who have touched the hands of gods, and they represent the true source of all life. Ife performs his dance for the dead, executing a story and poetry dance that acts out the tragedy of their lives. He demonstrates Dike's exploits, his own life of drinking, and the shame they have brought to their clan. In a moment of supreme sacrifice, Ife pledges his soul and his feet to the dead forever if they will free Dike from the Osu curse. The ancestors, moved to tears by the beauty of the dance, roar for Dike's freedom. The old ones grant their request but deliver a stern warning: they do not thrive on the blood of men. They command an end to human sacrifice, stating that goats and chickens are sufficient offerings. They also prophesy that Big Bosom will become Dike's wife and bear him 10 sons, 9 of whom will be the reincarnations of his ancestor warrior leaders. However, Ife chooses to remain behind in the realm of the dead, finding it a place where he can dance eternally without the disapproving eyes of their father, the return and the day of the 10 lions. Dike returns to the forbidden shrine alone, his appearance radically transformed. His hair is now a stark gray and his eyes are a glassy, unblinking cat-like hue. He emerges from the shrine carrying Ife's cold corpse, a scene that leaves the village in stunned wonder. King Azila falls to his knees, welcoming his son back as a freeborn and mourning the loss of his feather feet. The resolution of the political conflict occurs on the day of Ife's burial, which Ozo Agwo attempts to hijack as a coup. The obese peer arrives with 5 eagle feathers on his head, claiming the king's bloodline is dead and that his own son, Ekena, is now the leader of the Ogwimi. He mocks Dike, calling him a demon and a thing that has no business among humans. In response, Dike bellows a secret word of power given to him by the old ones. His voice transforms into the thunderous roar of a lion, and he scratches his own chest in a beast-like frenzy. Suddenly, the 9 ancestor warrior leaders return to the human realm in the true feline form, magnificent lions with golden manes. Dike decapitates Ekena with his bronze machetes and leaps onto the back of the leading lion, Ecolobia. What follows is known in village lore as the Day of the 10 Lions. Dike and the feline spirits ride through the 10 Okoro villages, devouring the human vultures and human snakes who had plotted against the Oma clan. They enter Emeka's hamlet and tear the flesh from the necks of his brothers, finally ending the treacherous bloodline. By sunset, the House of Ozo Agwo has ceased to exist, and the king's authority is restored through a display of supernatural power, atonement, and a new era for Akari. The novel concludes 30 days later with the Day of Atonement. The king, now guided by a newfound humility, implements the lessons Dike brought back from the spirit world. He officially abolishes the Osu caste system, declaring that all citizens are equal and that the ancestors demand no human blood. The young girls falsely accused of witchcraft are exonerated, and their families are granted a week of mourning to restore their honor. King Azila also publicly apologizes to the people of Yamase village, the albinos whom they had wrongly persecuted. Dike personally approaches their leader, a woman who resembles the head witch from his vision, and begs for her forgiveness, vowing to dedicate his life to their protection. Emeka's father is given a dignified burial in his own compound, the snake mark of treachery removed from his name for eternity. The book ends on a note of domestic peace. Dike and Big Bosom are married, and she is already pregnant with their first son. While Dike remains haunted by his unblinking eyes, he finds solace in the knowledge that Ifakandu is dancing happily with their mother in the wondrous realm beyond, and that Akari is finally free from the nightmares of the past. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.